from the redwood forests, love those redwoods, to the Gulf Stream waters. I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, at times I've been on the receiving end of it.
Oprah, it's tough to be Oprah. Hey, let me ask you a question. Last night at the DNC, Oprah, she comes out. She looks fantastic, by the way. She's never looked better. And she starts to deliver a speech. And it occurred to me that I don't know that my kids would even know who Oprah is. Oprah is not relevant today in our, you know, the kids these days, culture these days. She doesn't have, can you think of, am I forgetting anything, Brad? Where is Oprah present right now outside of like a podcast or a book club or something like that? I don't even know what she does.
Yeah, she's got her network, but I don't think she's out in front of that. It's just, what is it, Harpo or something like that?
Probably. I mean, that's what it used to be. Here's the deal, though. You know why she's on the stage up there? Because she's been wildly successful in America. That's it. Her ability to grace that stage way past her prime of not earnings, because folks, she's worth $3 billion. She is worth $3 billion and she's on a stage at the Democrat convention saying that she's been on the receiving end of racism, sexism, and income inequality. Now, here's the deal. My understanding is that she did have quite a journey to be where she is right now. That's the celebration, but not for the Democrats. Their story over and over and over again this week at the convention, with zero policy to offer you about solutions that would make your life better. They just come out to pinch, to poke, to prod you so that you feel a certain kind of way and that you relate to these speakers who come on the stage, Oprah being one of them. And the connection that you have to Oprah is that she knows what it's like to be you because she understands racism, sexism, and income inequality. I'm not here at all to debate or to detract from her experience of those things. The truth is, and this is the dirty little secret here that is never discussed when we're talking about politics, Republicans, Democrats, any of this stuff. I think, to quote Joe Biden, name me. What did he say? Name me the time or something like that.
But, make my day.
You know, that was something else. But name me the country on the face of this planet where you will go and people who look differently from one another, where there isn't some sort of racial tension that exists. In fact, the United States, oh man, Brad, correct me where I'm wrong here, is if we are the melting pot of the globe. If you're in Europe and you don't look Italian, you stick out.
Oh, yeah.
In Italy.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in Germany and you don't look German, you stick out in Germany. They've had a lot of people migrate into these countries without any assimilation as part of the process. It's become problematic there to great extent. When Oprah goes on the stage and she says that, you know, she's been from the redwood forest to the whatever the next line in the America the Beautiful or whatever the song is, I can't remember. When she's saying that and she's saying, you know, I've been all over this country and I've seen some things. I've experienced racism and sexism and income inequality. I've experienced that here. You can't go anywhere else and not experience that. That doesn't exist everywhere else, but just in big, bad America, we don't know how to act. But guess what? In America, a young, impoverished black girl can come to be a $3 billionaire on the DNC stage, as she told us last night, as a registered independent with a free voice to share with the American people. I mean, God bless America. That is a champion story. But that's not what they celebrate when Oprah goes on. That's not what she says. That's not the message that she delivers. Because I would think that this celebration of Oprah Winfrey in the United States of America would be that she came from what she talks about. And in America, you too can become what she has become. With a lot of hard work and a little bit of luck. In America, we don't limit people that way, except we do when the Democrats have power. We're told on the same stage, from the same podium, about how bad billionaires are, and then we have billionaire after billionaire taking the stage to tell us how bad we have it in this country and how dangerous it's going to be in the future if the other side gets a chance back in the Oval Office. I mean, just really imagine the balls behind something like that, where you're trying to figure out, while you're raising four kids in the Midwest, while you're trying to put kids through school, while you're trying to put yourself through school, while you're maybe working two jobs, while you're trying to trim back on things that you used to be able to afford with no problem and were a little bit of a luxury, but you could afford them and you worked hard and you enjoyed those things because you earned them. You're pulling back on that stuff. The grocery cart looks a little bit different because you can't afford what you used to be able to put in a grocery cart. And Oprah Winfrey, the three billionaire, comes onto the stage and reminds us how scary it is in the United States of America. And if we get the orange band back in there, whoo, it's going to be bad. The same person who has multiple times interviewed Donald Trump and spoken with Donald Trump on his behalf and been like, so you want to run for president? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Their gaslights have gaslighting. They are perpetually obsessed with managing your emotions. And they are relying on you to feel so much that you don't even take the time to think. And I'm looking, gosh, it's like, how distorted is an X feed, a Twitter feed? And the videos that you can see, you're curating your little slice of what that looks like. It's not real life. But I am seeing video after video after video from influencers that I've never seen before, heard from before, just going out on the street. I mean, good grief. You've got Don Lemon on the boardwalk in Atlantic City going, who are you going to vote for? And people are saying Trump, and they're saying it because they're talking about what their actual lived experience is. And the Democrats aren't even mentioning it. Kamala Harris is going to speak tonight. She has not delivered policy conversations anywhere where she is nailing down, this is what I want to do. If you've heard chatter about the tax on unrealized gains, I mean, this is going to blow people's minds if she actually puts that in print so that people can consume it. And she confirms it and she tries to sell it to the American people and say, you need to pick me. Look what I can do. If you listen to Barack Obama's speech earlier this week, all his entire beginning of his speech was to say, you know, some people don't trust government. And that's a shame. We need to change that. Government is for the good for people. I believe that Barack Obama believes that government is the solution to the problem. I believe that Barack Obama sees problems and thinks we can collectively fix this problem. I'm going to have to take your money to do it, but it's worth it. And I think in many ways, shapes and forms that he believes that what he's doing is for the better. I just think it also happens to be simultaneously un-American. That's not how we do things here. We're not offering people equal outcomes. That's not what we do here. We're not taking from people that have gotten a little bit more. Going back to what Michelle Obama said, our mother, she championed her mother. I'm sure her mother was a lovely woman, but she's talking about how her mother was very suspicious of people who took more than their share. And she got like the number in my head is $70 million for her book.
Yeah, she's like a net worth of $70 million, and they've got three houses that are multi-million dollar homes.
I mean, how does she... But how would you reconcile saying that on a stage? Forget about these people who have lived an elitist life that we could never come to understand, that we will never know what it's like to be in their position where money is of no object. And you know, you're doing this and you've made yourself believe, maybe you've always believed wholeheartedly that you're doing what's best for the cause. But how would you reconcile having that kind of net worth, having multiple multi-million dollar homes, and go up in front of an electorate and tell a story about your mother that you just lost, who is suspicious of people who took more than their share? And to do that, to work your way directly into those innermost heartstrings that you can pull so that you can affect an outcome from somebody, that you can tell that story so that you can motivate somebody to take an action that you want them to take for the end that you are trying to reach. I could not do that. People say, Annie, there's, you know, Donald Trump himself is a billionaire, so he says. Yeah, but he's not ashamed of it. He doesn't deny it. He actually talks about how when you put America first and the American people first, more opportunity becomes possible for the American people. And it's all without the idea that government needs to come in and pull all of those strings to get people where they need to be. This Democrat Party, I said this yesterday, and I will double down on this today. They've got nothing. They just need you to feel. And they will tell you how to feel. They will tell you when you need to feel afraid. They will tell you when you need to get angry. And they will tell you when you should feel joy. That is what they have. And that is a paper tiger that goes nowhere. If people open their eyes and are willing to challenge the status quo that is out there. If you're a suburban woman, you vote this way. If you're a black man, you vote this way. If you're a black woman, you vote that way. If you're a white man, you vote this way. If you're Gen X, you vote this way. If you're a boomer, you vote that way. I mean, just count all the boomers and give those votes to the one person. The Gen Zers give those votes to the other. And then let's just see where it shakes out. We don't do that because that's not actually the way it works. Make sure you're talking and having conversations with people in your life that aren't buying it, and you can see it in their eyes. You know that they're moderates. You know they don't like Trump. Maybe they were RFK fans just because it was an alternative to the two-party system. And just talk to them and care about them and be genuine with them and be willing to discuss something that most people won't anymore because they're too afraid to. Be the person who's not afraid and be the person who has a way with their eyes and with their tone can communicate to that person before they actually get into the meat of the conversation that you care more about them as an individual than you care about however they vote. Don't even ask them how they vote. Just talk about the issues. You could make a difference because, I mean, it's quite refreshing to me as much as I said last night. In my house, this is like shock therapy. And my oldest daughter said, what's shock therapy? I'm like, you know how I hate spiders? And she's like, yeah. I said, this would be like if you wanted to cure me of my cure of spiders, you would dump spiders all over me until I was okay with them. And she just looked at me like, I wouldn't do that. It's not going to happen. Having to sit in front of the DNC and soak in the words that these individuals are saying at first, it's very tough because they do bring up emotion. They do make you feel. And when you know what their record is, you know what they've done when they've had the power of the offices that they seek or promote, you know it's not good for America. You know that. So when they take the stage and they're happy and they're pointing to the crowd and they're soaking it all in, this is the pep rally before the big game. Of course, If you go to the red team's gym and they've got a pep rally and they're running out the paper and they're running a lap and Jock Jams is playing in the background and everybody's hyped up and pumped up. You go to the other gym, they're doing the exact same thing for their own teams. Of course they are. But then they got to come together, they've got to meet, and they've got to play the game. It's hard to watch the other team celebrate and thump their chests and say things about the other team. It's hard to sit there and watch it at length. But after you do, you realize that the Democrats have nothing. They've got nothing. And if the Republicans fumble this ball because they don't put everything out there on the field and they beat themselves, that's the biggest tragedy that could lie ahead. Don't let ourselves beat ourselves. Show up and help finish the job. Go connect yourself to your county Republican groups. Get involved. If you're in the position to make donations, make donations. Call people, text people. TP, Turning Point Action, is a great partnership that you can make. There are so many things you can do. Don't be sitting on November 6th and going, gosh, this really sucks. I wish I would have done something. I wish I would have done more than just tweet or listen to the radio and scream at Annie. Like, get involved. Do something. That's what the left keeps saying. We can do that too. The YouTube live chat poll for today is, who wins the election? We get to hear Kamala Harris speak tonight at the DNC, or at least I will for you if you can't stomach it. But I encourage you to tune in. I encourage you to listen and pay attention. They don't have anything. They've got nothing. See for yourself. At the end of it, you go, really? That's it? That's the best case you can make? Okay. Game on. Let's go. Who wins? Annie Frye YouTube channel. Go vote in the poll. We would love to hear what you have to say about it. We'll get your reactions throughout the course of the show. And we'll tell you how it ends at 2:45. When we come back, Hans von Spakovsky is going to be with us. We've got Tyrus in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Lots of Annie Frye show ahead. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Annie Frye show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. The YouTube live chat poll for today, it's pretty straightforward. Who wins the presidential election? Is it Harris Walls or is it Trump Vance? We want to know what you think. Go to the Annie Frye YouTube channel and let us know what you think. Leave a comment, vote, and we will highlight some of those throughout the course of the show. Let's get to our next guest here, Hans von Spakovsky, with us once again, the senior legal fellow and at the Heritage Foundation, also a former FEC commissioner. Hans, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. You know, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the election coming up because I've got polls. This is what's going to happen. And then the next week, that's what's going to happen. But the number one thing that I hear from listeners is, can we trust the elections? And I know that it's state by state. Virginia, I think, has had some updates in how the governor has approached the voter rolls there. What are the things that you're seeing right now that are going to make a difference in how this electoral college shapes up?
Well, look, there's all kinds of things. I would tell folks that generally we're going to be in better shape in this year than we were in 2020 because so many states, Missouri among them, put in all kinds of good election reforms. And then we've had other individual efforts. The governor of Virginia, as you were mentioning, specifically ordered his state election officials start checking DMV records. And as a result, in the last 2 years, they've removed 6,300 aliens who were registered to vote. On the other hand, the Inspector General of the U.S. Postal Service just released a report that ought to make people leery of using absentee ballots. In essence, what they said was that there were huge delays in the delivery of election-related mail, and they had set up these kind of regional centers for mail processing, which meant that, as an example that the IG gave, people voting by absentee ballot in Utah in the primary election, their ballots, instead of just simply being delivered in Utah, were sent to Nevada.
No. Oh, no.
Yes, they were sent to Nevada for handling mishandling, I should say. And as a result, many of them apparently were then, when they were returned to Utah, delivered late. So the U.S. Postal Service, it's clear from this IG report, isn't up to the task of effectively delivering absentee ballots. And as you know, so many people have switched over to using those. You know, if you really want to vote before Election Day, if you're a state that has early voting, you ought to go in person and do it. Don't trust the U.S. mail service.
I think that's great advice. I have voted. I'm in Illinois. I think we get 40 days to make a decision and pull the lever in the state of Illinois. And I have voted early. I was going to be out of town on a primary election day, and it was very simple to do. And I went in, filled out the ballot, put it in the machine, and it was counted. And it was a positive experience. I wonder what you think about, you know, in a state like Illinois, I hear a lot of people like at the RNC saying vote early, trying to push Republican voters to get their vote in and bank the vote. That is the name of the game in a lot of these states. Do you encourage that? You've literally written a book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. What do you think about this idea of encouraging voters? You know, don't wait till Election Day. Get out there, vote, get it on record.
Well, look, if your state has early voting, yeah, take advantage of it. I don't necessarily like early voting during the primary season, because if you early vote during primaries, often the candidate you may have voted for may drop out right before Election Day. That's not a problem with the general election. So, yeah, because of the kind of issues that can arise on Election Day, like you'll recall in Pennsylvania, where they ran out of ballots in particular polling places in the state, all of which seem to be mostly in Republican areas. If you early vote and they run out of ballots, well, obviously you still have time to vote. You may not have that on Election Day, which is another reason why I don't disagree with get in there and vote early. But like I said, do it in person. Don't use absentee ballots unless you really have to.
I think that's great advice. And I think it's something that might put some people at ease. We got a lot of staunch voting only on Election Day people out there. And I understand that and I respect that. But the situation, the status quo has changed. And if Republicans want to try to win under these circumstances, they're going to have to win before they can change the system. Last election in 2020, I'm thinking, just kind of going around here, Nevada, Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan are those swing states that really decided that Joe Biden would ultimately be the president. Have we seen dramatic changes in those states specifically that may make them be able to get us results sooner than days and days later?
Some of the states have approved things. Georgia, for example, passed a huge election reform bill that had all kinds of good things in it. In fact, you'll recall they were so good that Joe Biden went to Atlanta to give a speech condemning them as Jim Crow 2.0, which tells you that they were good reforms.
Yeah, that's how you know.
On the other hand, Michigan, unfortunately, made things worse. There was actually a referendum passed there that, for example, gutted their voter ID law. Pennsylvania is pretty much the same with one exception, which is they did manage to convince the Democratic governor to sign one bill. That was a bill that banned Zuckbucks, right? Mm-hmm. Money coming from private left-wing groups going to election officials in places like Philadelphia, which made a huge difference of turnout in the 2020 election. So we at least have that. So it just depends. Nevada, unfortunately, is one of the worst states in the country in terms of not having well-run elections, having a lot of problems with the way they do things. And things there they haven't gotten better. They've either stayed the same or gotten worse.
And we talked a little bit about Virginia and what the Governor Youngkin has done there with those voter rolls, getting illegal immigrants off of the voter rolls. Do you feel like because of what some of these states are doing to tighten up their elections, that maybe some states that weren't traditionally swing states might potentially be part of the conversation in this eventual election here in November when we get to results night? You think that Do you think the landscape's going to look the same, or are there any other places you're looking right now to maybe see a difference be made?
Well, what I'll tell you about that is that people need to understand and realize that the states that are battleground states, that's not set in concrete. If you go back 30 years, you'll find that the states that were battleground states then, that's very different from the ones that are battleground states today. And while you can do a lot predicting with polls, keep in mind that there's been this huge movement inside the United States, people leaving the big tax overregulated states like New York, New Jersey, California, and heading down into red states. Florida used to be kind of a battleground state going back and forth. It's now a solidly red state, as we've seen in recent elections. So everybody who thinks they can predict this election outcome, I don't think that's really possible.
Yeah, it's going to be down to the wire, and we're going to definitely be following it along here. Hans, I want to thank you for coming on with us. And as we get closer here, always interested in those things that you're picking up on. As I mentioned earlier, your book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote, is definitely something people can read up on, how things changed dramatically in 2020. That's my last question for you. With COVID and how things went in 2020, were there measures that were put in place just because we were in a pandemic at that moment that are not in place any longer in this 2024 presidential election?
Yeah, many of the states that started mailing, for example, Georgia is a good example. In Georgia, the Secretary of State on his own mailed an absentee ballot request form to everybody in the state. That's not happening this year. Unfortunately, some states have left those provisions in place, Nevada being a terrible example of that. Nevada, because of COVID supposedly, actually mailed a ballot to every registered voter in the state based on an emergency measure. They've now made that permanent, and they have one of the most inaccurate voter rolls in the country.
It's just outrageous. I mean, if you were trying to make sure 100% that the election was secure, that you didn't create a breeding ground for fraud, it seems like you would do the opposite of what Nevada has done at this point.
That is exactly right.
Yeah.
It's just... you've pegged it right exactly correctly.
Well, we appreciate you, Hans. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to more updates as we get closer to the election.
Sure thing. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. Check out his book. He's got a wealth of knowledge about how things were and how they are now. And always great to speak with him. We're going to take a quick break. Wiggins America, we come back in. I have not had a chance to look at what he's going to talk about, so I will find out as soon as you do. And I would say unfettered Wiggins is probably your favorite Wiggins, so you're going to want to stick around for Wiggins America when we come back. Who's going to win the presidential election? Big question, broad question, and it's our question to you on the YouTube channel. Annie Fry YouTube, go vote in today's live chat poll. Wiggins America next.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
I didn't read your messages.
Well, these are a bunch of stories that'll make you go, what? They make you do a double take.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
That's special today?
No, it's pretty much every day. It's just that some days I have a little sounder that is kind of fun. Yeah, something like that.
That's how you know.
This is how you know that it's one day. It's Thursday. I almost said it was Wednesday. So the first one.
Gosh, these weeks are going fast.
I think the exact opposite.
Mm. Maybe it's because I'm having a good time.
Yeah, when you're having a good time, it's at the expense of everybody else, and so nobody else is having a good time. Yep. Very, very slow. The DNC has taken credit, I guess, or taken responsibility for the projections that were done at the beginning of this week on Trump Tower. Have you seen this story?
Project 2025.
You got it. That was one of them. So
what else was there?
I don't know who from the DNC rented a room in a hotel across from Trump Tower in Chicago, and they got a high-powered projector, and they were projecting messages onto the tower, which I think is actually pretty clever.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I do too.
But I want Trump to do the same thing.
I do too.
I just want it to be a battle.
Yeah, Project 2025 headquarters was one of them, which I don't think is really moving the needle. I mean, you can do that all day.
Only for the nerds. It just makes people who are super passionate about hating Trump remember that they're super passionate about hating Trump.
Yeah, that'll show them.
Project 2025. I mean, go up to like a dude at lunch, in line at lunch, wherever you go to get lunch today. Like where you are right now, say, hey, Project 2025, and see if they know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. Can almost guarantee it. That was one of them, was Project 2025 headquarters. Another one was Trump Vance, weird as hell.
Oh, no. Ouch.
I know.
Is there, is
Vance
there
a, dropped out of the race.
Is there a worse line
he was like, ouch,
than J.B. Pritzker's? Like, the only thing he's a billionaire in is stupidity.
Oh, man. I stood up and started cheering. I was like, that's an amazing line. Because I knew we could use it forever.
Sounds like an 8-year-old line.
It does.
It's not clever.
Yeah.
It's not even true. Like, if you were going to accuse Donald Trump of being something, stupid wouldn't be the thing you would accuse him of being. People accuse Kamala Harris of being stupid. I don't think she's stupid. I think she's, if she's failed a lot, she's definitely failed forward. She's about to potentially be the president of the United States. But J.B. Pritzker goes up there right after Bernie Sanders is like, billionaires suck. And J.B. Pritzker's like, but I'm a better billionaire because Donald Trump's stupid. Okay.
No, even that would have been better. He's rich in stupidity. It's just a bad line.
It just sounded like.
It just didn't hit.
In a blizzard. Amy Klobuchar.
She was on last night.
Yeah, and she said something. She said, I don't know what the direct quote was because I didn't see it. I read about it, but apparently she said, and Tim Walz is going to school J.D. Vance.
I didn't see it.
Oh, because he's a teacher.
I'll tell you the truth. I tried, and I watched a ton of the DNC last night as a professional obligation. I just sat down and watched like an hour and a half of it. And I was going to watch Tim Walz, but Amy Klobuchar came on to introduce Tim Walz. And I was like, I'm done. I can't keep watching. I can't even
it's
watch
like the
headliner.
Opposite goal that she should have with the audience.
Yes. I kept doing what you were just doing, blizzard, while she was talking.
I don't even really dislike her.
Oh, I don't hate her or anything, but her cadence is that same joke.
But you
it's
know,
that joke over and over and over.
She's a United States senator.
Yes.
So I don't like feel sorry for her.
No, she's okay.
But
I don't have a problem saying that I don't like Amy Klobuchar's
snow
policies.
Snow woman. I told my kids the whole story, the whole snow woman.
Did they love it?
Blizzard. They thought it was funny.
Do they refer to her as Olaf now?
No, not yet. But maybe now.
They should, and we should. The last one that I wanted to mention that they projected onto Trump Tower, I think there was only these three. Trump Vance, weird as hell. Project 2025 headquarters, and Harris Walz, joy and hope.
It's like a Christmas decoration.
Look, these things.
Put that on an ornament.
These things are fine. You're trying to pick a slogan, your bumper sticker, boom, you got to hit it, you got to move on. It's just that's all it is. There is nothing
these
else.
These aren't even like painful insults.
No.
I don't even feel attacked. I'm just like, okay.
Trump sees that on his tower. He goes, I'm not even associated with Project 2025. Now I'm mad. They really got him.
What? That's how we all feel. Pause.
Shoplifting deterrents, like locked cabinets, are actually moving people to shop more online.
Oh, this is shocking. Nothing like asking a clerk to come get your deodorant for you from behind a plexiglass thing. I don't have to do this anywhere I shop, which I guess I'm blessed to do.
Oh, I see a couple spots, and I think my local Walgreens puts all the razors and the deodorant behind glass now. And so maybe some baby food. That happened right after our babies weren't babies anymore, so it didn't really affect us. But retailers, they're just getting it from every side. Retail crime is eating into retailers' profits, and high theft rates are also leading to a rise in store closures. So they're closing all this stuff up behind glass to decrease theft, but it also causes sales to drop by 15 to 25% for anything they put behind glass.
No joke.
And it's making people go shop online more.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. That's exactly what I do. If I walk into a store and I see something that's behind glass, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to wait there for a clerk. You just said the same thing. You're not going to do it. I don't know who is, Apparently 15 to 25% of us are just moving on. What? Sorry about the pause there. Airlines, this is news, and you got to log this for next time you fly. Airlines won't let you fly when the entire top of your skull is bleeding.
Okay.
Okay? It's just one of those.
What about on Spirit?
I don't know. Have
this
to check Spirit.
Is a prerequisite for getting on.
It's just an upcharge. Just, it's
is your skull bleeding? I don't think you can.
Step over here. We'll get you going.
I think the last time I got COVID was from a Spirit Airlines flight.
Really?
I was coming home from Florida.
I'm sure that they're not the only airline who's confronted COVID.
No, I'm sure they're not. But personal experience, that was the last time I had COVID.
Did you not get a seat with extra space?
Do they have extra space?
I've never flown Spirit, so I don't know.
I think they're all... The nice thing about Spirit is they're a new enough airline that the seats are all kind of new and it feels fresh, but they're not wide. If you are bleeding from the top of your head, just to back to the story here, don't try to fly. Because a man found this out who who had a fully and the mugshot even. The mugshot's taken way later, obviously.
Mugshot?
Yeah. So
you buried the lead.
So the guy and his girlfriend try to get on a plane. His whole head is just bleeding. It's massive head wound, hairy time. He is letting it go. He's not trying to cover it up or anything. Apparently, he did have bandages, but they were so bloody that they're like, dude, you've got to change those. He didn't have any more bandages. So they said, well, you can't fly then. And he got belligerent, him and his girlfriend both, and said, you better let me fly or nobody's flying. And they're like, that's a threat. So then he got arrested. In his mugshot, you can see blood trickling from his head still.
I don't like that.
And it's because he had just had hair transplant surgery.
Oh, man.
And he had those little pinpricks all over his head, and they were all bleeding, and he didn't handle it very well.
What? Did he get the hair transplants done at the airport?
I don't know. Must have been pretty recent. Last one. Donald Trump says he would consider Elon Musk for a cabinet role. Former President Trump said Monday that he would consider Tesla CEO Elon Musk for a job in his cabinet if he wins in the election. Quote, he's a very smart guy. I certainly would. If he would do it, I certainly would. He's a brilliant guy. That's the quote. We don't know exactly what that position might be, but Elon Musk has been hinting that he wants to be over the government, over like...
Government efficiency?
Government efficiency, yeah. That's what it was. The acronym was D-O-G-E, Doge. So,
Department of Government Efficiency.
Could Elon Musk, I mean, do you think this is real or is it just like a goofy story? Or do you think Elon Musk could ever actually serve in a Trump administration?
He served in the Biden administration for like a week and was like, this sucks.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
What was the role?
I think technology, like maybe space or technology or something like that.
Oh, I did not know that. But would you be for Elon Musk doing something more in the financial realm?
Well, it sounds kind of leftist to be like, we need to be more efficient in government. Let's create a department. So I don't know. I'd have to know more about, like, what's the function?
Yeah, somebody who is running that much business. I'm always for people who are in business being in government, especially in finance.
Rather
I just don't know
being
if he's
in the
right,
business of government.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the right guy, but I wouldn't mind exploring the possibility. So there you go. There is today's Wiggins America with a bunch of stories that make you go. What? Thank you very much.
You got 60 seconds.
What do you want me to do? You want me to do a little dance?
Dance. That's the best thing you could do. For there you go. Gosh, I wish you guys could hear this.
It's pretty solid.
It would be better if you did tap.
What era would you say this is from?
A bygone.
All right, fine. You one-upped me.
Yes, thank you.
You win. You win this round.
Tyrus is going to join us when we come back. Our YouTube live chat poll, who wins the presidential election? Is it Harris Walz or is it Trump Vance? And are you watching, are you going to tune in tonight to see Kamala Harris come back to her convention because she has not been hanging around here lately? She's going to be back to take the stage. Is she going to talk about things she's actually wanting to do? Is it dangerous if she does? Let's get what Tyrus thinks about the Democrat convention versus the Republican convention on the Annie Fry Show when we come back. read your messages.
Well, these are a bunch of stories that'll make you go, what? They make you do a double take.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
That's special today?
No, it's pretty much every day. it's just that some days I have a little sounder that is kind of fun.
What?
Yeah, something like that.
That's how you know.
This is how you know that it's one day. It's Thursday. I almost said it was Wednesday. So the first one.
Gosh, these weeks are going fast.
I think the exact opposite.
Mm. Maybe it's because I'm having a good time.
Yeah, when you're having a good time, it's at the expense of everybody else. And so nobody else is having a good time. Yep. No, I'm going very, very slow. The DNC has taken credit, I guess, or taken responsibility for the projections that were done at the beginning of this week on Trump Tower. Have you seen this story?
Project 2025.
You got it. That was one of them. So
what else was there?
I don't know who from the DNC rented a room in a hotel across from Trump Tower in Chicago, and they got a high-powered projector, and they were projecting messages onto the tower, which I think is actually pretty clever.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I do too.
But I want Trump to do the same thing.
I do too.
I just want it to be a battle.
Yeah, Project 2025 headquarters was one of them, which I don't think is really moving the needle. I mean, you can do that all day.
Only for the nerds. It just makes people who are super passionate about hating Trump remember that they're super passionate about hating Trump.
Yeah, that'll show them.
Project 2025. I mean, go up to like a dude at lunch, in line at lunch, wherever you go to get lunch today. Like where you are right now, say, hey, Project 2025, and see if they know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. Can almost guarantee it. That was one of them, was Project 2025 headquarters. Another one was Trump Vance. Weird as hell.
Oh, no. Ouch.
I know.
Is there, well, is
Vance
there
a, dropped out of the race.
Is there a worse line?
He was like, ouch.
Then J.B. Pritzker's like, the only thing he's a billionaire in is stupidity.
Oh, man. I stood up and started cheering. I was like, that's an amazing line, because I knew we could use it forever.
Sounds like an 8-year-old line.
It does.
It's not clever.
Yeah.
It's not even true. Like, if you were going to accuse Donald Trump of being something, stupid wouldn't be the thing you would accuse him of being. People accuse Kamala Harris of being stupid. I don't think she's stupid. I think she's, if she's failed a lot, she's definitely failed forward. She's about to potentially be the president of the United States. But J.B. Pritzker goes up there right after Bernie Sanders is like, billionaires suck. And J.B. Pritzker's like, but I'm a better billionaire. Because Donald Trump's stupid. Okay.
No, even that would have been better. He's rich in stupidity. It's just a bad line.
It just sounded like...
It just didn't hit.
In a blizzard. Amy Klobuchar.
She was on last night.
Yeah, and she said something. She said, I don't know what the direct quote was because I didn't see it. I read about it, but apparently she said, and Tim Walz is going to school J.D. Vance.
I'm like, see it.
Oh, because he's a teacher.
I'll tell you the truth. I tried, and I watched a ton of the DNC last night. As a professional obligation, I just sat down and watched like an hour and a half of it. And I was going to watch Tim Walz, but Amy Klobuchar came on to introduce Tim Walz. And I was like, I'm done. I can't keep watching. I can't even
like
watch the headliner.
Opposite goal that she should have with the audience.
Yes. I kept doing what you were just doing, Blizzard, while she was talking.
I don't even really dislike her.
Oh, I don't hate her or anything, but her cadence is that same joke.
But
it's that joke over and over and over.
She's a United States senator.
Yes.
So I don't, like, feel sorry for her.
No, she's okay.
But
I don't have a problem saying that I don't like Amy Klobuchar's
snow
policies.
Snow woman. I told my kids the whole story, the whole snow woman.
Did they love it?
Blizzard. They thought it was funny.
Do they refer to her as Olaf now?
No, not yet. But maybe now.
They should, and we should. The last one that I wanted to mention that they projected onto Trump Tower, I think there was only these three. Trump Vance, weird as hell, Project 2025 headquarters, and Harris Walz, joy and hope.
It's like a Christmas decoration.
Look, these things.
Put that on an ornament.
These things are fine. You're trying to pick a slogan, your bumper sticker, boom, you got to hit it, you got to move on. It's just that that's all it is. There is nothing
these
else.
These aren't even like painful insults.
No.
I don't even feel attacked. I'm just like, okay.
Trump sees that on his tower. He goes, I'm not even associated with Project 2025. Now I'm mad. They really got him.
What? That's how we all feel. Pause.
Shoplifting deterrents, like locked cabinets, are actually moving people to shop more online.
Oh, this is shocking. Nothing like asking a clerk to come get your deodorant for you from behind a plexiglass thing. I don't have to do this anywhere I shop, which I guess I'm blessed to do.
Oh, I see a couple spots, and I think my local Walgreens puts all the razors and the deodorant behind glass now. And so maybe some baby food. That happened right after our babies weren't babies anymore, so it didn't really affect us. But retailers, they're just getting it from every side. Retail crime is eating into retailers' profits, and high theft rates are also leading to a rise in store closures. So they're closing all this stuff up behind glass to decrease theft, but it also causes sales to drop by 15 to 25% for anything they put behind glass.
No joke.
And it's making people go shop online more. Mm-hmm. Duh. That's exactly what I do. If I walk into a store and I see something that's behind glass, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to wait there for a clerk. You just said the same thing. You're not going to do it. I don't know who is. Apparently 15 to 25% of us are just moving on. Sorry about the pause there. Airlines, this is news, and you got to log this for next time you fly. Airlines won't let you fly when the entire top of your skull is bleeding.
Okay.
Okay? It's just one of those.
What about on Spirit?
I don't know. Have
this
to check Spirit.
It's a prerequisite for getting on.
It's just a upcharge. Just, it's a
is your skull bleeding? I don't think you can get on.
Step over here. We'll get you going.
I think the last time I got COVID was from a Spirit Airlines flight.
Really?
I was coming home from Florida.
I'm sure that they're not the only airline who has confronted COVID.
No, I'm sure they're not. But personal experience, that was the last time I had COVID.
Did you not get a seat with extra space?
Do they have extra space?
I've never flown Spirit, so I don't know.
I think they're all... The nice thing about Spirit is they're a new enough airline that the seats are all kind of new and it feels fresh, but they're not wide. If you are bleeding from the top of your head, just to back to the story here, don't try to fly, because a man found this out who who had a fully and the mugshot even. The mugshot's taken way later, obviously.
Mugshot?
Yeah, so...
You buried the lead.
So the guy and his girlfriend try to get on a plane. His whole head is just bleeding. It's massive head wound, hairy time. He is letting it go. He's not trying to cover it up or anything. Apparently, he did have bandages, but they were so bloody that they're like, dude, you've got to change those. He didn't have any more bandages. So they said, well, you can't fly then. And he got belligerent, him and his girlfriend both, and said, you better let me fly or nobody's flying. And they're like, that's a threat. So then he got arrested. In his mugshot, you can see blood trickling from his head still.
I don't like that.
And it's because he had just had hair transplant surgery.
Oh, man.
And he had those little pinpricks all over his head, and they were all bleeding, and he didn't handle it very well.
Did he get the hair transplants done at the airport?
I don't know. Must have been pretty recent. Last one, Donald Trump says he would consider Elon Musk for a cabinet role. Former President Trump said Monday that he would consider Tesla CEO Elon Musk for a job in his cabinet if he wins in the election. Quote, he's a very smart guy. I certainly would. If he would do it, I certainly would. He's a brilliant guy. That's the quote. We don't know exactly what that position might be, but Elon Musk has been hinting that he wants to be over the government,
Government efficiency.
Government efficiency. Yeah, that's what it was. The acronym was DOGE, Doge. So,
Department of Government Efficiency.
Could Elon Musk? I mean, do you think this is real, or is it just like a goofy story? Or do you think Elon Musk could ever actually serve in a Trump administration?
He served in a Biden administration for like a week and was like, "This sucks."
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
What was the role?
I think technology, like maybe space or technology or something like that.
Oh, I did not know that. But would you be for Elon Musk doing something more in the financial realm?
Well, it sounds kind of leftist to be like, we need to be more efficient in government. Let's create a department. So I don't know. I'd have to know more about, like, what's the function?
Yeah, somebody who is running that much business. I'm always for people who are in business being in government, especially in finance.
Rather
I just don't know if he's
the business of government.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the right guy, but I wouldn't mind exploring the possibility. So there you go. There is today's Wiggins America with a bunch of stories that make you go,
what?
Thank you very much.
You got 60 seconds.
What do you want me to do? You want me to do a little dance?
Dance. That's the best thing you could do. For there you go. Gosh, I wish you guys could hear this.
It's pretty solid.
It would be better if you did tap.
What era would you say this is from?
A bygone.
All right, fine. You one-upped me.
Yes, thank you.
You win. You win this round.
Tyrus is going to join us when we come back. Our YouTube live chat poll, who wins the presidential election? Is it Harris Walz or is it Trump Vance? And are you watching, are you going to tune in tonight to see Kamala Harris come back to her convention? Because she has not been hanging around here lately. She's going to be back to take the stage. Is she going to talk about things she's actually wanting to do? Is it dangerous if she does? Let's get what Tyrus thinks about the Democrat convention versus the Republican convention on the Annie Fry Show when we come back.